Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. And my God, it has been months since I've done an episode on this show. Well, first things first, I apologize that I've not done an episode on this show for a long, long time. I'm not gonna lie, I have not watched any professional wrestling in months. I have been following it to the best of my ability. But I gotta tell y'all, my day job has just been so much for me that I have not been able to catch up on Ringside Chaos. And because today, for the first time in 4 months, I have back-to-back days off, I finally have the time to produce some pro wrestling podcasting content. So here we go. Now, mind you, I did not watch WWE's Saturday Night Main Event, and I did not watch AEW All In, but I am going to talk a little bit about them both. Well, specifically for WWE, the main thing I want to talk about is Seth Rollins, particularly about the injury. It appears to be 100% legitimate, which would be absolutely unfortunate for Seth Rollins. I mean, it's even more unfortunate that he's truly on top right now. Just fully being at the absolute top of his game, I don't think I had seen Seth Rollins in such a better position before. I mean, 10 years ago, he was the top heel in the company, and he's once again the top heel in the company, but much more experienced, much more grown. I mean, this is just 10 years later. And not to mention that 10 years ago, he suffered a torn ACL in a match against Kane at a live event in Dublin, Ireland, I believe, which caused him to relinquish the WWE title, and he went on to miss WrestleMania. Many people are saying that this is a work. Now, some saying this is actually both legitimate, and of course, the injury is going to be put into a storyline. I don't know what to expect right now. I mean, I've done as much research as I can to see if the Seth Rollins injury is fully legitimate. It appears to be, but how many times have we been in a situation to where we think that this particular injury appears legitimate, but it turns out to be a work? How many times have we seen something appear to be real, but it's all just a work? We've seen it before, we're going to see it again. Seth Rollins truly is in a great position. The whole thing with Paul Heyman and Bron Breakker. I mean, the last episode on the show was me talking about WrestleMania, even though I did not get the chance to watch Night 2 because of work. Do you know what? I still have not been able to watch Night 2 of WrestleMania. I deeply, deeply regret it. But since I returned to my old job as a bar back 4 months ago, I have just been working and working and working and working. As a matter of fact, a couple days ago on Sunday, I worked a 16-hour shift. Not to mention that in my return, I actually at one point worked 18 hours. Yeah, it's because I'm putting so many hours, but you know what? I needed a job so bad that I took whatever opportunities I could get to make that money to pay my bills because 4 months ago, I was in a horrible, horrible situation financially. I'm not going to get into full details right now, but ladies and gentlemen, I had to get my day job back. I had to find something because I went 7 months with nothing. I finally did, and I had to make that sacrifice. But here I am. So apparently, like a friend of mine told me, Alex, you're a lot like Seth Rollins. You are a workhorse. I mean, Seth Rollins always gives it his absolute best. He really is. He really does, I should say. And in this particular situation, you know, I don't know exactly what to say about the situation. But again, if Seth Rollins is legitimately injured, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't even know. Is it the same knee that he tore 10 years ago? I mean, didn't he? I know that Seth Rollins has had so many injury issues. I think there's been times, you know, he mentioned he's got injury issues regarding his shoulder, the neck, and everything else. I mean, that's just the life of a professional wrestler. I mean, let's be honest, when you're in that ring and you wrestle several times a week, man, of course, you know, those injuries are just nagging. So, now, I mean, Bleacher Report said that, released a story 7 hours ago that saying that Seth Rollins said that he'll miss a, quote, extended period due to his injury. but the status is unknown. I mean, we don't even know. We don't even know what the injury is. I mean, it's as we know, it has to do something with his knee, but I wonder if it's the same knee that he injured 10 years ago. But not to mention, I think, didn't he have surgery on his knee actually last year? I believe in January of 2024, he suffered a, he suffered a torn MCL and a partially torn meniscus during a match with Jinder Mahal. Although, despite the injury, he did continue to wrestle, and he appeared at WrestleMania 40. So again, you have that torn ACL. I mean, he blew that knee injury from 10 years ago. He blew every ligament in his knee. And I think there was a brief knee injury in 2017, although that one might have been, I mean, I don't know. I remember when Seth Rollins was having that feud with Triple H that was building that match at WrestleMania 33. So I think there was also a knee injury then, although some would say that was actually a story, that was all at work. But from the looks of it, I mean, it did look like Seth Rollins injured his knee when he was doing that thing with Samoa Joe. But the bottom line is Seth Rollins has just been, you know, again, an absolute workhorse, very dependable, fully committed to the business. He's committed, dedicated. I mean, he's loyal to the business. I mean, he loves this business. So I can honestly say Seth Rollins has sacrificed so much for the business, for the fans, for everybody. And that's why we are so grateful to him. I am so grateful to Seth Rollins personally. I love him. I love Seth Rollins. And you know what? If he's hurt and if he has to miss time, so be it. Okay? I mean, again, the fact that we talk about the sacrifices that Seth Rollins makes. I mean, it's not only the physical sacrifices relating to his body and his health, but, you know, sacrificing time away from home, from family and everything because of his devotion to the business. I mean, Seth Rollins is one of the top guys, not only in WWE, but in professional wrestling. I mean, Seth Rollins is a legend, for goodness sake. He's a hero and he's a legend. I mean, I love Seth Rollins, whether he's a heel or as a face. And there's so many unique things about Seth Rollins. Not only his brilliant, illustrious career, his unique and outstanding wrestling ability, his ability to carry himself as a heel or as a face. I mean, let's be honest, Seth Rollins is one of those dudes. He excels at such a high level, and he can take it to such higher levels as both a face and as a heel. In other words, quite simply put, Seth Rollins is fantastic as a face and as a heel. Some say he's better as a heel, some say he's better as a face, but like I said, to me, he's just as good, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy on television. Seth Rollins is truly a pioneer, one of a kind. I'm so grateful to him. So grateful to so many professional wrestlers from so many companies, including the independent wrestlers that I've watched many times and I've spoken to personally. Overall, everybody knows I am so grateful to the professional wrestling business. Now, there was this thing about how Seth Rollins dropped an F-bomb after suffering the injury. This was at Saturday night's main event against LA Knight. And LA Knight, actually, I think after that, they had to make a quick change. So I think LA Knight went on to get the win. Part of me believes that Seth Rollins was originally supposed to win the match, but because of the injury, and again, Seth Rollins, you know, did drop an F-bomb, and I mean, seeing what happened, apparently, yeah, the injury apparently looks real, and he came on a podcast, and he said that his goal is to make it in time for WrestleMania 42, so, you know, and he's currently Mr. Money in the Bank. You know, again, I've missed so much wrestling. I'm telling you, my job and everything else going on in life has prevented me from just talking about it. I mean, again, I don't even know a lot of things that's going on in WWE. And I'm trying to get to everything as I can. I mean, it's same thing with AEW regarding All In. But I'm going to try to get as much as I can in this episode. Because, again, this show's been on hiatus for far too long. The fans and listeners of this show have been more than patient and very, very understanding. Every time I would say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, they would say, Alex, it's okay. So I'm going to give you guys my best on this one, okay? So I understand Roman Reigns recently returned. I mean, I swear there was some source on the internet that said that there's apparently plans for a new bloodline that's going to be formed by Roman Reigns. I mean, I don't know what's going on right now. I mean, it feels like we hadn't seen Roman in forever. I mean, I think when he returned a couple of days ago, this was like the first time since WrestleMania, I think. I mean, again, I've not been able to watch. I've not been able to follow everything. So I just know that Roman Reigns returned recently, and I don't know what they got going on for him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's because, you know, recently CM Punk won a match to challenge Gunther for the championship, I believe, at SummerSlam. And, of course, Gunther versus Goldberg happened. And, of course, Gunther wins by technical submission. And, of course, a lot of people were not interested in that. But, I mean, again, I guess at this point we're probably never going to see Goldberg again. Although someone said we've thought that before, but we've seen him come back. As far as I'm concerned, I think this is probably the end for Goldberg. I mean, this was his retirement match, and the match went on for 15 minutes, which kind of is surprising. I figured the match would probably go 7 minutes, 7 minutes tops. But you know, yeah, if anything on Goldberg, well, I love Goldberg. Watching his stuff going back all the way to WCW, I had a Goldberg action figure as a kid. I had a Goldberg T-shirt. You know, everybody knows today I'm the sort of wrestling fan that still collects professional wrestling toys. There's actually something on eBay that I'm actually following, one of those toy wrestling rings that I had when I was a kid, you know, an unopened one. So continue to make some investments, but now it's not the time for that. But I appreciate everything Goldberg's done. I'm sure Bret Hart doesn't like hearing me say that, but look, Goldberg, not the best, but certainly not the worst as far as in-ring ability and, you know, workload and whatnot. It's unfortunate that many people are critical of Goldberg, but look, you can say whatever you want, but Goldberg, he's entertained me for many years. All the great matches from his days at WCW, the feud with the NWO, you know, how he lost the belt to Kevin Nash. I mean, if I had been at this age during that time, I certainly would have been upset about it. I'll never forget, you know, the fact when I learned that Goldberg actually had a heel turn in WCW, which really surprised me. Of course, Goldberg is, you know, blamed for ending Bret Hart's career. And, you know, I just say that Goldberg, much like me and everybody else, is a human who made a mistake. And it's unfortunate that it ended Bret Hart's career. I hope and pray that Bret Hart can one day forgive Goldberg. I really want these guys, you know, to, you know, meet face to face and, you know, the whole thing behind them. I mean, Goldberg's, you know, I'm sure Goldberg, you know, is waiting for that moment, but I'll never forget when Goldberg said that he's, you know, done apologizing about it. I mean, Goldberg apologized for many, many years, so yeah. So I got distracted this whole thing, but, you know, for Goldberg, I mean, this was his first match in, like, what, 3 years, so man, final match in a career that spanned 28 years, so man. So, thank you, Goldberg. And, of course, he was on the poster on the recent edition of Saturday Night's Main Event in Atlanta, Georgia. An attendance of over 13,000 people with a tagline, "No one spared, everyone speared." So, it was obviously a tribute to Goldberg. So, yeah. And there was only four matches. Randy Orton beat Drew McIntyre. Solo Sikoa beat Jimmy Uso to retain the United States Championship. But recently, those that talk about Roman Reigns returning, I think this was on Monday Night Raw. So, and Saturday Night's Main Event was on July 12th, and All In was obviously, it was also on the same day. So yeah, Saturday Night's Main Event, the same night as AEW All In, and AEW All In was obviously in Arlington at Globe Life Field with over 27,000 people in attendance. I would have loved to have been there, but, well, fortunately I wasn't, but you know, it's okay. But anyway, going back to everything that I've been distracted about, I've just been, you know, kind of away from professional wrestling for far too long, so I'm just trying to basically talk about, you know, what I'm aware. But so Goldberg had his retirement match. I'm not surprised that Gunther won, although I had personally teased the idea. Like, imagine if Goldberg beat Gunther and Seth Rollins cashed in on Goldberg and won the title. I think that would have been a great way to do it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the whole thing with Seth Rollins right now, I mean, with the injury again, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it's unfortunate that he got hurt, but Seth Rollins has been dealing with many injuries. I mean, again, when you devote your life into the business, when you're the workhorse that Seth Rollins is, I mean, he even said in the interview, it's not the first time that he's been injured. It's definitely not going to be the last. Getting injured is something that you have to accept, and you know will happen to you when you're a professional wrestler, especially, you know, when you have the work, especially when you have the schedule and everything that Seth Rollins has. I mean, it's going to happen, but either way, you know, injuries happen. So that's pretty much kind of the WWE thing. I mean, that's all about WWE that I really kind of want to talk about. You know, Seth Rollins, his injury. I mean, It's unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. I wish Seth Rollins nothing but a speedy recovery. And hopefully he can make it in time for WrestleMania 42. I think he probably will. I think I mentioned, like, you know, something about Paul Heyman, and I think in the storyline he's gonna hold on to the briefcase because Seth has until June to cash it in. So I can honestly say I think right now Seth Rollins is probably gonna have another WrestleMania moment, a similar one that he had 10 years ago. So I think at WrestleMania 42, Seth Rollins is going to have a similar moment that he had at WrestleMania 31. And this is going to be unannounced. Seth Rollins will return at WrestleMania, and no one's going to expect it. Seth Rollins will return. He's going to cash it. He's going to become the champion. So here's a prediction for you. All right? Here's a prediction. Next year at WrestleMania, at WrestleMania 42, Seth Rollins, all of a sudden, his music will hit. He will run to the ring. He will cash in. He will become champion once again. And they're going to pick up right where they're left off in the storyline. But we'll have to see how things go. Now, who's he going to cash in on? Is it going to be on Gunther? Is it going to be on Cody? Is it going to be on Roman? You know what? If it's on Roman Reigns, if he cashes once again on Roman Reigns, well, that'll just keep the story going because this story between them two has been over 10 years in the making now. Over 10 years. So here it is, WrestleMania 42, Seth Rollins out of nowhere will appear, he will cash in, he will become champion. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I can honestly say that is not a prediction, that is a spoiler, in the words of the one and only, the great Paul Heyman. Man, oh man. As far as that goes, there's really nothing for me in WWE that for me to talk about. Again, I apologize that I've not been paying too much attention, but for the time being, I don't know what they got in store for Roman Reigns, but I'll try to pay attention to the best of my ability. I'll try to follow to the best of my ability. Well, that's for WWE. Now, talk a little bit about AEW All In. Now, there's something about AEW that I want to talk about. And it involves who, in my opinion, is the greatest pro wrestling family in the business, and that would be the Von Erichs. Kevin Von Erich apparently has a role with AEW, and it's official. I believe his sons, Ross and Marshall, confirmed it on their show, which I have not listened to for a very, very long time, which I feel bad for. But it has been confirmed that Kevin Von Erich is working as a coach in AEW. Now, I do believe Kevin Von Erich actually made an appearance at AEW All In and did perform the Claw, so it's great to see Kevin again. You know, everybody knows, you know, I love Kevin Von Erich. I love Ross and Marshall. You know, because I've not been able to pay attention to what's been going on day to day in wrestling, I talked to a friend of mine who listens to the show, and I actually asked him, "What if I just do random episodes about certain things?" And he said that's a good idea. So I think because of my job, like on some days I'll just kind of do a random pro wrestling episode. You know, other people say, well, it's better than not doing anything. So I really want to give my full experience, you know, that day watching Ross and Marshall Von Erich wrestle at the MLW event 3 years ago in Dallas. But there's a lot of things there's a lot of subjects that'll come to mind. But I'll do my best as far as day-to-day events and everything going on in pro wrestling. But I just want to keep this show going as far as content goes, so I mean, despite my very, very brutal work schedule, I need to try to make the time for all my shows because I got to keep the momentum going because I feel like Ringside Chaos lost a lot of momentum, and it's up to me to revive it. So here I am, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am. So it's great to see Kevin Von Erich, you know, really have a role in AEW. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to do good at it. I'm sure this is huge, and Tony Khan actually is the one who confirmed it. So, yeah. Man, you know, of course, you know, a number of legends, you know, have coaching roles. You know, Billy Gunn's one of them. I mean, a lot of you know, legends have big roles backstage, you know, for AEW, whether it's, you know, producer or coach or whatever. So he's actually working as a coach with the promotion. So, yeah. So Tony Khan is actually the one that confirmed it. So it's great. And he did appear at AEW All In this past Saturday. It was in, you know, Texas and Arlington. So, of course, the Von Erichs teamed up with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara to defeat Shane Taylor Promotions on the AEW pre-show. Of course, Kevin, after the match, entered the ring to celebrate with the winning team. And of course, you know, Dustin Rhodes was in this match. And of course, Dustin Rhodes had a huge moment later on, which we'll get to. But, man, Kevin, you know, even, you know, performed the claw. Like, I did see, like, he performed the claw. So, man, it's great to see Kevin Von Erich, you know, in wrestling again, you know, with his sons. And I'm sure that a lot of wrestlers will truly benefit from learning from the legend himself, Kevin Von Erich. And I'm really, really happy for Kevin Von Erich. I really, really am. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I know that I sound very, very biased. Well, honestly, I am very, very biased. The Von Erichs are the greatest pro wrestling family in the history of this business. No disrespect to the Hart Foundation, no disrespect to the Guerreros, no disrespect to everybody else, but I truly believe the Von Erichs are the best. And I love them so much. And Kevin, it's good to have you in AEW, brother. It really is. So, anyway, I can also say that right off the bat, I was very disappointed that Mercedes Moné didn't become the AEW Women's World Champion, because I surely expected her to, because for months and months and months, I heavily insisted that she would become the AEW Women's World Champion at All In Texas, but it did not happen. It did not happen. And Mercedes Moné, I mean, how many titles does she have now? Like, seven? And I adore Mercedes Moné. I really do. And really seeing her, you know, where she is right now with in her position in wrestling, man, she really is, you know, at the top. You know, she's the current AEW TBS champion. I mean, not to mention everything else. I mean, she's also makes appearances in New Japan and World Wonder Ring Stardom. She's a former IWGP Women's Champion. A one-time strong women's champion, and she's currently the undisputed British women's champion, and she's actually the current CMLL Women's World Champion, and she's Austria's European Wrestling Association champion as well. She's the EWA Women's World Champion, so she is the only woman to win championships across WWE, AEW, New Japan, and CMLL, and that's Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre. And she's the current CMLL Women's World Champion, the undisputed British Women's Champion as well. Man, AEW TBS World Champion. I mean, she's got so many belts on her. I mean, I've lost count. I've truly lost count. But I'm so happy for Mercedes Moné. I love her. I've been a huge fan of hers for such a long time. I'm really, really happy to see where she is right now. But I am bummed and disappointed that she did not become the AEW Women's World Champion. But, you know, I love Toni Storm. Toni Storm truly is, much like Seth Rollins and Mercedes Moné, she's a workhorse. I mean, many argue, you know, she's the face of the AEW women's division. She carries the division. Lost my ability to speak for a moment, so I apologize. But there's a lot of immensely talented female professional wrestlers right now in AEW. It was great to see Harley Cameron make her return, and speaking of Harley Cameron, man, you know, there's so many female wrestlers that I absolutely adore. You know, Toni Storm, Mercedes Moné, Harley Cameron, Anna Jay, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and one that actually arrived in AEW a couple months ago after spending several years in Japan. I think her name is Thekla. Thekla. She's from Austria. She's known as a Toxic Spider. And I will say this. Even though I suffer from arachnophobia, that's a fear of spiders, I absolutely adore Thekla's character. I mean, I didn't even know who she was when she arrived in AEW, and that makes me feel bad. So that's why I took the time to do some research, watching a lot of her matches and her promos in Japan. Thekla is absolutely incredible. An incredible athlete, incredible character. Thekla is amazing. Amazing. So, been following her, you know, everything she's done so far. Thekla is just absolutely incredible. I mean, there are so many incredible female wrestlers in AEW. And again, I love Thekla. I love Mercedes Moné. I love Toni Storm. I love Anna Jay. I love, of course, my hero Thunder Rosa, which I was so disappointed that she did not become the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion at the Ring of Honor Supercard the night before AEW All In Texas. Of course, I predicted for many months that Thunder Rosa would become the AEW Women's World Champion at AEW All In Texas, so that didn't happen, so I'm very bummed about that, because everybody knows, I admire a lot of female professional wrestlers, But of course, everybody knows Thunder Rosa is my hero. Thunder Rosa is my hero. So I was very, very bummed to see that she did not become champion. But you know what? She's a champion in my book. She always has been and she always will be. So even though she did not become the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, Thunder Rosa is still a champion in my book and she always will be. And I love Thunder Rosa very, very much. Very, very much. So going back to everybody else, go back to Harley Cameron. I mean, Harley Cameron, the whole thing, I think, you know, recently she did have she had nose surgery. She suffered a broken nose and she had surgery. So I wasn't sure how long she'd be out, but she made her return to All In and she's wearing a mask. So I think right now she's going to continue the alliance with Anna Jay. And everybody knows, you know, Anna Jay too. I love, you know, I've praised her so many times on this show. I love Anna Jay. I mean, let's be honest. Again, there's a lot of female wrestlers that I absolutely adore, and I love them so much because everybody knows I'm a very, very vocal supporter of women's professional wrestling. That's gotten me ridiculed, but I don't give a damn. I will defend women's wrestling, and if I get ridiculed for it, so be it. Because women's professional wrestling matters. Professional wrestling matters. I will defend women's wrestling for the rest of my life. I've defended it for a long time, and I will continue to defend women's wrestling. And if I get made fun of, if I get ridiculed, well, guess what? I don't give a damn. I'm going to continue to do it. So, anyway, getting caught up in everything else. So, I was bummed that Mercedes Moreno didn't become champion. I think Thekla was actually part of the match. She actually took part in the in the women's casino gauntlet match for a future AEW Women's World Championship match. Athena actually won it, and she won by pinning Mina Shirakawa. Of course, Athena, she successfully defended the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship the night before. She's been champion for such a long time. I think she's been champion for over 900 days. I mean, she's the longest reigning champion in Ring of Honor history. I mean, I think her reign is approximately 950 days, or at least around there. I mean, look at the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. I mean, man, I think she won it. She actually won it in December 10th of 2022. I mean, Roxy, who of course, as we know, is Roxanne Perez, you know, during the time in Ring of Honor, Roxy, she's the inaugural Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. So, man. So Athena, who of course was known as Amber Moon in WWE, she's been champion for a long time, and Athena's been doing a fantastic job. So I would imagine Athena winning. I mean, right now, part of me believes that she's gonna be the AEW Women's World Champion and the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion simultaneously. I mean, why not, right? Why not? So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, we'll see how things go. But I'm so happy for Athena. Going back to the first match, the Sons of Texas, that's the Dustin Rhodes, Ross and Marshall Von Erich, and Sammy Guevara with Kevin Von Erich beat Shane Taylor Promotions. And I think Kevin Von Erich was actually managing the team. So yeah, so he was at their corner, and this was an 8-man tag match. You know, on the pre-show, all matches were tag team matches, and two of them were 8-man tag matches. You know, FTR beat the Outrunners for the third match, and the Ops beat the Death Riders, Claudio and Wheeler Yuta and Gabe Kidd in the opening bout, which was a trios match for the AEW World Trios Championship. So the Ops, Katsuya Yori Shibata and Powerhouse Hobbs, along with Samoa Joe, beat the Death Riders, along with Gabe Kidd. And MJF won the Men's Casino Gauntlet match for a future AEW World Championship match. Of course, the AEW World Championship, we'll get to that. Like that, Hangman Adam Page beat John Moxley, and I saw the highlights of that match, and that match was just incredible. Incredible. You know, Hangman Adam Page, the Hangman Adam Page that we've been seeing lately is just, he's stronger than ever, more driven, more dangerous. I mean, and this is the character. I mean, we've not seen the Hangman Adam Page, we've not seen this one before. The one we've been seeing the last couple of months, you know, in a feud with the Death Riders. I mean, this is a different Hangman Adam Page, and this is one that we all love, and we all love Hangman Adam Page. I mean, I know that some fans have had their things to say about it, but you know what? I love Hangman Adam Page. And, you know, great wrestler, and multi-time AEW World Champion. So you know, I think it was right for him to actually win the belt. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, of course, you know the whole story with the Death Riders, how the belt was kept in that briefcase. You know, I could have sworn I saw like a clip or something like that, like when they were changing the plates on the belt. I mean, they saw the same plates from when Bryan Danielson was champion. So, man. So, going back to the matches. So MJF won. He won the Casino Gauntlet match. He beat Roderick Strong in the final. He won by pinning him. So MJF is going to get a title shot in the foreseeable future against Hangman Adam Page. And we know the history between MJF and Hangman Adam Page. So, do I see MJF beating Hangman Adam Page for the title? I mean, I don't think so. But there's something I'm actually going to predict about Hangman Adam Page when I'll get once I get to the main event. And this involves somebody else that's had a recent history with Hangman Adam Page. But, you know, one big thing, you know, and I'm glad that I didn't forget this, you know, is Adam Cole. Adam Cole made an announcement that he is going away for a while because apparently he's dealing with some sort of injury. And, you know, Adam Cole, again, you know, nothing but love and admiration for him. So it's unfortunate. So, man, so I guess, you know, he cut that promo and he relinquished the TNT title. And, of course, the TNT title, you know, we all know what happened with that. I think it was originally supposed to be a match. He was supposed to defend it in a singles match against Kyle Fletcher, but it became a four-way match because the title was vacant. So it became a four-way match between Dustin Rhodes, Daniel Garcia, Kyle Fletcher, and Sammy Guevara. And Dustin Rhodes won the title. And I got to tell you, at 56 years old, you know, of course, you know, a lot of fans had, you know, had different opinions about the whole thing. But you know what? I don't care what anybody says. Dustin Rhodes deserves this. He deserves it. And I am so, so happy for him. So happy for him. Dustin Rhodes has just been so committed to the business for so long. He's had some rough moments. He's had, you know, we all know about his career. So, again, I don't want to go through the all right here, but Dustin Rhodes has just been committed to the business since the very beginning. He's been with AEW since the very beginning. He's helped build the brand, build the promotion. He's been a huge part of it. You know what? Dustin Rhodes becoming the AEW TNT champion, I am so, so happy for him. So happy for him. I mean, he's one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, along with Sammy Guevara, and he's a third of the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, alongside Ross and Marshall Von Erich. So, man. So he's a triple champion. Dustin Rhodes is a triple champion, and again, he deserves it. He's the AEW TNT champion, one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, and one third of the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions. Man, the whole thing, the Sons of Texas, I love it. As a fellow Texan, I love it. So I'm so happy for Dustin Rhodes, still going strong. I mean, Dustin Rhodes is a great example. I mean, we've all heard the phrase, you are never too old to kick butt. Dustin Rhodes proves that. And you know what? He's still going strong. You know what? I guess he's saying that age is only a number. Dustin Rhodes is still going strong. I am so grateful for everything that Dustin Rhodes has done and everything that he does. You know, if I ever get a chance, I mean, this is for a lot of wrestlers. If I ever get a chance to meet Dustin Rhodes, a handshake won't be enough because everything that he's done for the business, because he's entertained me for so many years. I mean, Dustin Rhodes motivates people. I mean, he has personally encouraged me to continue to work hard. He hasn't, and this is, you know, stuff, you know, it's stuff that he posts, you know, I respond. Dustin Rhodes has been a personal influence on me. So if I meet him, a handshake's not going to be enough. I would say I need to give him a hug. I really do. Because Dustin Rhodes has done so much for me personally. I mean, in the hard work, everything, all of his success, it helps, you know, and a lot of wrestlers have done that. I mean, Eddie Kingston, you know, Dustin Rhodes gets the same credit that I give other wrestlers for inspiring me to continue despite the fact that I've struggled for pretty much my entire adult life through personal issues, finances, jobs, building my shows, building my brand, everything that I've gone through. Dustin Rhodes is one of the many that just inspires me to keep going. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you for everything. And congratulations. You deserve to be TNT champion. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy. You know what? It was only right. It was only right for him to win it in the beautiful Lone Star State. I'm so happy for him. Thank you, Dustin, and congratulations. And on the match, Swerve and Will Ospreay versus the Young Bucks. And there was a stipulation in this one. Because the Young Bucks lost, they were stripped of their executive vice president titles, but had Ospreay and Strickland lost, neither of them would be able to challenge for the AEW World Championship for 1 year. So this was a tag team match that went on for 26 minutes. Let's be honest, a lot of these matches went long. I mean, the Men's Casino Gauntlet match went 35 minutes. Dustin Rhodes, the four-way match went about 16 minutes. So it's great to see, you know, and of course Prince Nana was at their side, and man, I gotta tell you, Prince Nana, such a unique, one-of-a-kind manager. Man, you know, and Prince Nana, of course, you know, he was being with Ring of Honor for a long time. You know, Prince Nana, again, like I said, truly unique and one-of-a-kind, and, you know, the rivalry between Swerve and the Hurt Syndicate, how Swerve, you know, chose to be with Prince Nana. I thought that was a very entertaining story. I mean, Swerve Strickland, again, you know, there's just so many wrestlers that I describe as unique, one-of-a-kind. Man, Swerve Strickland's just another example, much like Will Ospreay, the Aerial Assassin, of course, Prince Nana, the Young Bucks, you know, unique tag team, one of the best of all time. I mean, so many wrestlers are all, I mean, they're all unique in their own way. Unique and one of a kind in their own way, and that's just the way to describe it, because pro wrestlers are all different. I mean, their style, the mic skills, everything, and they're so great. So it's just like, how are you not entertained? But so Swerve and Will Ospreay, you know, definitely, you know, huge win, but, you know, Swerve and Will Ospreay got involved, obviously in the main event, and we all know what happened to Will Ospreay. So I think because of what happened, you know, when Claudio drove that chair into Ospreay's neck, I mean, I part of me believes that Will Ospreay is going to be, is basically, this was used to write him off of television. But before I go deeper into that, I may briefly go back to Adam Cole. And again, he's stepping away from AEW. So I kind of apologize. I got kind of distracted. I drove away from Adam Cole. So I'm gonna completely go back. So he cut that promo, and man, it was very, very emotional. Man, you know, the former NXT champion, as we know, he spent almost 9 months on the shelf after suffering two back-to-back concussions in mid-2022. And it hasn't been easy for Adam Cole. And he previously revealed that for months, he couldn't even spend 15 minutes inside a car, and he was only clear to take short walks by doctors. His body was not responding to his commands, and at one point, Adam was worried about the quality of his life going forward. And concussions are a very, very serious thing. Very, very serious thing. I mean, apparently it's even hinted that this could be the end of his career. So, man, I feel horrible for Adam Cole. But he's got to do what's best for his health and for the family. And you know, and if Adam Cole were to retire as a competitor, There's lots of things for him to do, you know, outside the ring. So, you know, again, Adam Cole is a legend in the business, and it's just very unfortunate that it's what it's come down to. But you know, it is what it is, and I want Adam Cole to be able to heal. And again, I mean, I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm trying not to, because I love Adam Cole, but right now, honestly, he basically said he'd be out indefinitely. I mean, he hinted at a possible in-ring retirement, so, man. So because of undisclosed health reasons and not being medically clear to compete, I mean, he surrendered the TNT title, and of course, they had to crown a champion, you know, the same night. And apparently, according to reports, he was actually prepared to announce his retirement. So, man, and Tony Khan basically said hopefully he'll be able to return, but apparently, last 24 hours, I mean, according to WrestleZone, Adam Cole was prepared to announce his retirement at AEW All In. Man, it's such an unfortunate set of circumstances. But he did say he needed to step away from the ring for a while, And the word and when the word retirement was used, it wasn't explicitly a retirement speech. So, man. But I'll tell you this. If Adam Cole decides to retire from in-ring competition, then you know what? All I can say is, thank you, Adam. Thanks a lot, baby. I love you, Adam. You know, when these wrestlers risk their lives and their health and everything for the fans, you know, again, that's when I say a handshake is not enough. You got to give them a hug. You got to thank them, you know, deeply. I mean, because when I hug a wrestler and I tell them, because, you know, a lot of wrestlers, you know, especially when I was a kid, professional wrestling was an escape from bullying at school. You know, I always tell the story that when The Rock was the special guest referee for that match against between Triple H and the Bulldog, how The Rock, you know, trolled the two heels and entertained everybody. Professional wrestling was one of my many escapes from the bullying that I was enduring at school. And it wasn't just The Rock. I mean, a lot of wrestlers. I mean, wrestling today is an escape from stress at work, stress in my personal life, from torment, from struggling with personal demons and struggling with my brutal past, which I'm, you know, trying to move on from. Professional wrestling has been an escape for me, and a lot of professional wrestlers, they have provided a sense of comfort and relief for me personally. That's why I say a handshake's not enough for me to thank a wrestler. I want to give him a hug to thank him for doing so much for me. You know, it's the same situation with Adam Cole. And again, if Adam Cole decides to retire, well, you know what? It's unfortunate, but if he has to do what he has to do for his health, then so be it. I'm grateful for everything that Adam Cole has done. And again, there's no doubt in my mind that even though he can't be an in-ring performer, he still has a lot to offer outside the ring as far as coaching. He can work in creative. He can, I'm sure he can probably train wrestlers. I mean, probably to an extent. I mean, if from the concussions and everything, he probably, I don't know if he'll be able to take bumps, but he can still train wrestlers to an extent. So what I'm saying is Adam Cole, even if he's in a position where he can't wrestle anymore, he still has a lot to offer the business and a lot to offer the fans. You know what? Whatever decision is in the future for him, well, I'll be supportive of him. If he retires from in-ring competition, well, I'll basically say, well, he has to do what he has to do, and there's no doubt there's no doubt that he knows what he's doing. So, so that's that. So, well, so then we got to, you know, Athena winning the Casino Gauntlet match. Now I want to take a look who else was in the Gauntlet. Okay. In the women's one, we had Chris Statlander, Megan Bain, Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale, another wrestler that I have huge admiration for. I love Willow Nightingale. Tay Mello, Thekla, Julia Hart, Queen Aminata. Queen Aminata, I'll never forget, when I was in Florida a couple years ago, I actually met and spoke to Queen Aminata. And you know what? We both speak French, so I was actually able to have a conversation in French with Queen Aminata. And I'm so grateful for that experience. Yeah, I told her I'm French American. I was born in France, and I'm a dual citizen. And I think she actually lived in France for a while. She actually studied in France. She actually studied, from what I understand, she studied international law and was qualified to practice law in France. So she lived in France for a while. And I told her I'm from the south, east part of France. I'm from Lyon. So I was able to speak to her in French, and that was amazing. So I love Queen Aminata. She's a tremendous wrestler. Of course, Mina Shirakawa was also in the match. Athena, Thunder Rosa, Yuri, and Alex Windsor. Alex Windsor, an English professional wrestler. Actually, I do not know her. Well, so a lot of wrestlers will make appearances in AEW, then we see them again. So anyway, well, Thunder Rosa was part of the Casino Gauntlet match. So I guess I'm a little bit more, even more bummed that Thunder Rosa didn't win the Gauntlet match, because you know what? I feel like she should have. But again, I mean, everybody just knows that I love Thunder Rosa. I mean, it's a lot of these wrestlers that I know, you know, Chris Statlander, I love her too. Willow Nightingale, Tay Mello, Thekla, Julia Hart, Mina Shirakawa. I mean, I Megan Bain. I have a lot of respect for all these wrestlers. Now going back to the entrance for the men's gauntlet match, Mark Briscoe was part of it, Ricochet, Bandito, Takeshita, Mystico, Josh Alexander, Anthony Bowens, Roderick Strong, Brody King, Juice Robinson, who actually made his return after being out for a long time. Another return right there, Juice Robinson. Kota Ibushi, the Beast Mortars, and Max Caster. So the Gauntlet matches were certainly incredible. So, man. And, you know, and Adam Cole's announcement was actually on the pre-show, so he had to relinquish the title on the pre-show due to injury. So, and again, as I said, the match was scheduled to be a singles match between Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher. So, man. But right now I'm thinking, if a singles match had happened, part of me believes Kyle Fletcher would have probably, they probably would have put the belt on Kyle Fletcher. Although, if I'm thinking that, well, why they put the belt on Dustin Rhodes? I mean, if they were going to put the belt on Kyle Fletcher, wouldn't they have had him win the Fatal 4-Way or the 4-Way match? I just call it a 4-Way match or 4-Way or Fatal 4-Way or 4 Corners. You get the point. So part of me believes Kyle Fletcher probably would have won if it was a singles, but then again, I'm like thinking, well, they put the belt on Dustin Rhodes, so I guess the plan, very likely, now that I think about it, the plan was for actually Adam Cole to retain, but, you know, we'll never know. So, going back to the three-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin with MJF and MVP. They beat Jet Speed and they beat the Patriarchy to retain the championship. And the big story in this one is what happened to Christian Cage after they lost. The Patriarchy turned on him. They turned on him. They attacked him, and they were preparing to deliver a concerto to him. You know, the concerto, the whole thing, you know, how Adam Copeland invented that in WWE. You know, the double chair shot. So. The Patriarchy turns on Christian Cage, and Christian Cage is about to be on the receiving end of a concerto. And who makes his return now? Adam Copeland. I mean, despite the history between the two in AEW, how that rivalry, I mean, so I guess at this point, is it official that Christian Cage turned face again after being heel for quite a while in AEW? And I mean, Christian Cage, his heel character and the whole leader of the Patriarchy, it's been great, but some have said it's probably time for him to maybe actually turn face again. Now, again, he was turned on, so basically the Patriarchy, apparently, was it disbanded, or is he just kicked out of the, is he just kicked out? But Christian Cage was saved by his lifelong friend, Adam Copeland, of course, you know, known as Cope, but, you know, I call him Adam Copeland, or call him Edge, we all know who it is. So, Adam Copeland saved him, and he helped him up, and he grabbed the mic, and he said to Christian Cage, "Go find yourself." So basically, despite the issues between the two in AEW and storyline, how Christian Cage, you know, attacked Copeland, and, you know, when Copeland won the title, and then Cage invoked that rematch thing and took the title back, I mean, and like that. So it was great to see Copeland make his return, and he tells Cage to go find himself. So this hints a face turn for Christian Cage. So Christian Cage is not a face yet, but this is a teaser. So I think in the coming months, Christian Cage might cut a series of promos and basically and then start heading towards that face turn. I mean, he's probably going to get, you know, bigger reaction from the crowd. I mean, he always does. I mean, we all love Christian Cage. We all love him so much. But so at this point, I mean, I don't know what it means for him and what this means for the Patriarchy, but I also would say that the Patriarchy has officially been disbanded. So I figure that the Patriarchy would just first would just kick him out. So anyway, as far as I can see, but so as far as I'm concerned, Christian Cage, you know, being told by his lifelong friend to go find himself, I think for a while we might not see Christian Cage on AEW programming for a little bit. And I just mentioned he might cut a series of promos. I mean, that's one way to go, but he might disappear for a couple of weeks, come back and deliver a promo, and, you know, saying that the last couple of weeks he's been trying to find himself and he's working on it and like that. And then maybe he comes back a couple of weeks later, delivers another promo and claims to find himself. And, you know, could it be at this point that, you know, in the future, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage feud with Nick Wayne? So, and Kip Sabian, like, basically, so at that point, you know, if they defeat him, you know, and then Christian, so basically, if in the future, if if Copeland and Christian Cage team up to take on Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian, and they win, could it be that after the match, Christian Cage would grab the mic and say, and thank the fans and thank Adam Copeland for helping him find himself? And that could happen, but you never know. You never know. So, well, so as far as I'm concerned, Christian Cage was told to go find himself, so we'll see what happens coming out of that. Now, the next match was Timeless Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné, and it ended by pinfall, and the build-up to the match was amazing, especially the last couple of weeks, especially those that thing they did on AEW programming when Toni Storm, I think, told Mercedes Moné, "Eat shit, bitch." I mean, Toni Storm is just such a wonderful actress. I mean, really makes the character look as real as can be. Toni Storm is fully committed, dedicated, and fully invested into her character, and I absolutely love it. I mean, I love the Timeless Toni Storm character, but I always say I miss the Rockstar character, but anyway. But I think, you know, in the foreseeable future, I mean, if Athena won the Gauntlet match, I would imagine that Athena actually could be the one to dethrone Toni Storm this time, but I don't know. I really honestly don't know. But again, from this one, I was just disappointed that Mercedes Moné didn't become champion, because I expected her to, because I insisted it for so long. I mean, she won that tournament for the rights, so I figured she would actually become the champion at this point, but apparently that didn't happen. Well, so I don't have much to say about the match between Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné, other than the fact that the result obviously was not what I expected. The next match was a unification match, a winner-takes-all match to unify the AEW Continental Championship and the AEW International Championship into the inaugural AEW Unified Championship. So you had Okada, the Continental Champion, versus Omega, the International Champion. So, and Okada actually beat Omega, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, Omega and Okada, there's a lot of history right there, so... Man, so and that match went 30 and a half minutes. Now, part of me thought, you know, Kenny Omega would win, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Okada actually won. I mean, Okada, you know, a member of the Don Callis family, so, you know, of course, Don Callis once was the manager of Kenny Omega when Kenny Omega was the AEW World Champion in 2021. So, and I think at that point, you know, Omega at one point was also the TNA World Champion as well. Won't forget when he lost the belt to Christian Cage. So, but again, the Okada and Omega, again, there's so much history between the two, and of course there was that match at Wrestle Kingdom 11 when Okada defended the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Kenny Omega. This was in 2016. So, man. But, you know, again, you know, try to pull up the history between Okada and Omega. I mean, the Okada and Omega rivalry in New Japan is considered one of the greatest in professional wrestling history. I mean, a series of critically acclaimed matches and a compelling narrative of two top stars vying for dominance. I mean, there was a match at Wrestle Kingdom 11, a time limit draw in 2017, and of course, Omega defeating Okada at Dominion in 2018 to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. I mean, Okada versus Omega is, again, one of the greatest rivalries in not only New Japan, but one of the greatest rivalries in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, this rivalry has been going on for about 10 years. I mean, it started in 2016 when Omega, as the leader of the Bullet Club, challenged Okada, the reigning IWGP champion. And the first major singles match took place at Wrestle Kingdom 11, where Okada retained the title. And that match was highly praised for the drama and the athleticism, and it just set the tone for a deeper rivalry. So, and then there was that match at Dominion 2017, which ended in a 60-minute time limit draw, which only made the feud intensifying. And then the third match at Dominion in 2018 saw Omega defeat Okada to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, which ended Okada's historic reign of 720 days. The match is considered one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time, earning a rare 6-star rating from journalist Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And again, the rivalry, the history between Okada and Omega has been amazing, and, well, some would say it just got better. And this time, Omega put Okada over. So both these guys know how to work very, very well. Man, and Okada beat Kenny Omega to unify the AEW Continental Championship with the AEW International Championship into the inaugural AEW Unified Championship. And there we go. Now we are at the main event. Hangman Adam Page beating Jon Moxley to win the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. And there's been 14 reigns between 9 champions and 1 vacancy for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. As we know, Chris Jericho was the inaugural champion. Jon Moxley has the most reigns at 4, and even served as interim champion for a time in 2022. And of course, that was the time we did the whole thing with CM Punk. So, man, Hangman Adam Page is the current champion, and this is his second reign. Man, he won it in a Texas death match. And the match was brutal. And seeing all the returns, I mean, Bryan Danielson returned. I mean, Darby Allin returned. I mean, Darby Allin, there was a video of Darby Allin on top of Mount Everest. And after that, he delivers the coffin drop. I mean, Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay got involved. And again, Will Ospreay was taken out again. So I want to pull it up exactly. You know, what exactly happened? And this was so. I guess basically at this point he's even taken off of television. So basically right now the way he was taken out. So I don't know exactly, but says that his recent injury was in 2023. So man, although he did say that back in June last month he sustained a broken nose in a match against Swerve Strickland, but it was considered not severe. So. So I don't know exactly, because again, from what we saw at All In, I mean, I don't know exactly what happens from here. But look at this thing: early match predictions for AEW Forbidden Door this year. So, but again, the way it was taken out, so like that. So, but again, you know, the point is, they came out and, you know, and Prince Nana even got involved. I mean, when he handcuffed Marina Shafir and trapped her, that was actually pretty entertaining. He comes out and he kind of does that taunt, that dance taunt that he does, which is really, 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 really cool. So, man. But again, I saw how Will Ospreay was taken out, you know, with that thing, with that chair thing, you know, with the neck thing. So I figured maybe Will Ospreay is going to be written off of television for a while. But, you know, going back to all the returns, I mean, Bryan Danielson made his return, Darby Allin made his return, and I feel like I'm missing somebody. You know, and the whole match was great, but I feel like there's something missing, because I mentioned all these returns as well, but I just feel like, yes, again, something's missing, and I want to make sure that I get them all. I really want to make sure that I get them all. But I'm glad that, you know, Bryan Danielson that made it in that one. So Juice Robinson made his return to that one. But from right here, Bryan Danielson as well. He showed up in a mask and he took out Wheeler Utah with a Busaiko knee, and also got rid of Kidd and Castagnoli as well. So then Darby Allin came, and Darby Allin came from the ceiling of a rope. I mean, that. A tribute to Sting, and had a face off with Jon Moxley, and man, so you know, of course, you know, Darby Allin, you know, performing the death the coffin drop as well. So, but I'm trying to figure out exactly who it is that I forgot to mention. I mean, I mentioned Copeland's return. I mentioned Juice Robinson. Mentioned Darby Allin and Bryan Danielson and Copeland. So. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for those of you, if there's a return an AEW All In that I failed to mention, then let me know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify. So, but the match, you know, you look at the notable moments from this match. I mean, this match got an A from Bleacher Report. I mean, Hangman's entrance included his old theme song with a couple of musicians playing on the stage. Man. It's funny, but Moxley bled first, but Page may have bled more after his head was busted open. Man. Man, and of course, the pop for Swerve was one of the loudest pops of the night. I mean, again, we mentioned the history between Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page. So, and so going back from here, I'm trying to look at the final say from Bleacher Report. I mean, it pretty much mentioned all the returns that I've mentioned, so maybe I didn't miss one. But again, just in case, if I miss one, then let me know. But obviously, the main event stole the show. I mean, it was such a violent and bloody match. I mean, it was a death match, and it was great. Man, even mentions the level of violence may be too much for some, but it fit the narrative of this feud absolutely. Especially, you know, especially the narrative of the Death Riders. So now you have to wonder. I mean, where do the Death Riders go from here? Like, will the Death Riders be split? I mean, is Jon Moxley going to be betrayed? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? So right now I'm thinking, I mean, obviously right now the highlights of the AEW All-In was, you know, Adam Cole's speech, the vacating of the TNT title, and of course the emotional promo, man, and of course Dustin Rhodes winning his first singles title in AEW, Tony Storm, I mean, a lot of great moments, you know, Copeland making his return and saving his friend, Okada unifying the international and continental titles, and Athena winning the gauntlet match, and I mean, so many highlights, but obviously the highlight of this one is the main event. I mean, the main highlight of the show is the main event. So, yeah. So, looking at it from here, so, going back to this prediction along with Swerve Strickland, and I wanted to save it, I believe Swerve Strickland is going to be challenging for the title soon, and I think Swerve Strickland is going to turn heel. I believe he's going to turn heel. I think Swerve Strickland will challenge Hangman Adam Page for the title and come up short. And that after that, I think Swerve Strickland will turn heel. Now, does that mean that Prince Nana turns heel as well? I mean, possibly. I mean, could it be? I mean, a friend of mine basically, because I talked about this already with a friend. I mean, he says he sees it more like Swerve Strickland turns heel and attacks Hangman Adam Page, and Prince Nana tries to stop it, and then Swerve attacks him as well. That could happen, but I see it more like Swerve turns heel and Prince Nana follows him. Because I just don't see AEW creative management. I don't see them separating Swerve and Prince Nana anytime soon. I think it would be a mistake because Prince Nana and Swerve Strickland have tremendous chemistry together. There's a reason why they've kept them together for so long. But, man. So basically, I mean, Ospreay got taken out again. I'm wondering, you know, because of what we saw Claudio deliver to Will Ospreay, what does this mean for Ospreay in the foreseeable future? But so, you know, of course, when the Death Riders show up to give Moxley that unfair advantage, I mean, obviously a lot of wrestlers come in, you know, to kind of even the odds. I mean, you know, of course, you know, the Death Riders would try to take him out, but eventually that backfired on him. You know, one particular highlight that I mentioned already was Marina Shafir being handcuffed by Prince Nana, and I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, the way it happened as well, I mean, it was incredible, and the way Prince Nana just taunts Marina Shafir about it, so I think, obviously, the Death Riders will probably be feuding. I mean, the feud will continue, but part of me believes, I mean, well, I don't think I see them turning on Jon Moxley being kicked out of the group. I mean, I'd be surprised if that happened, but it would work if it's done correctly, but as far as I'm concerned, I think obviously Moxley is obviously owed a rematch, but it would surprise me if Moxley disappeared for a while to take some time off. But again, right now I don't know what the future has in store for the Death Riders and for everything else, but from this prediction, again, I can say that I believe that Swerve Strickland, I believe a heel turn is coming soon. Again, and the way I see it is he's going to challenge Hangman for the title, and he's going to come up short, and then after that he turns heel and he attacks Adam Page. That's one way I see it. And then after that it might lead to a rivalry with Will Ospreay. But you also have to wonder, I mean, what does this mean for Bryan Danielson in the future? What does this mean for Darby Allin? And again, the whole thing with Darby Allin, again, that the fact that all of a sudden a video of him setting a warning, and he apparently on top of Mount Everest comes up, and then all of a sudden he appears, does that thing like Sting, you know, coming down from the rafters. But, and it's, so many great things happen, and a lot of good things can happen, you know, out of it, but I can come up with all these theories like that, but again, I don't know what to expect. But right now I'm predicting that Swerve Strickland may be headed towards a heel turn to have a to kind of continue that rivalry with Hangman Adam Page, but this time it intensifies, and it might actually build up to a huge match. But I don't see Hangman Adam Page dropping the belt to Swerve. Although it could possibly happen, I would love to see Swerve become champion again. But again, you have to ask, what does this mean for Darby Allin? What does this mean for Bryan Danielson? But overall, what does this mean for the Death Riders moving forward? I mean, so we'll have to see how things go. But you know, I'll try to keep my eye on what's going on in day to day in both WWE and AEW, and along with all the other promotions as well. But for now, I'm just glad that I can actually talk some professional wrestling for the first time in a very, very long time. So, to wrap up everything. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for not doing an episode of Ringside Chaos in a very, very long time. Because it's so difficult for me to be able to cover the day-to-day events and everything going on in AEW, WWE, TNA, MLW, etc., 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 to try to keep the content, to try to continue to produce content at a balanced, in a balanced way, to try to keep producing fresh content, I'm going to try to go with something like doing episodes about random things, like, again, like, you know, giving stories, or maybe talking about, you know, random stuff like that. So, you know, if you have any ideas for me to cover as far as random subjects in professional wrestling, if you have any suggestions, then again, leave them in the comments if you're listening on Spotify or on YouTube. But I do have a couple of ideas already, but I'm always welcome to some. Now, keep in mind, again, because I'm doing this because, again, I can't cover the day-to-day stuff I can't do it consistently because of my brutal work schedule, of course, my commitments with my other shows, but I still want to give some good, fresh content for Ringside Chaos, and the way I'm going to do it is try to just do some random episodes about random certain things, like random promos, or remember this when this happened. I mean, I did this, I've actually done this in some of the first episodes of this show, when I talk about The Rock's the sliding people's elbow, or when DX tried to invade WCW Nitro. So there's a lot of subjects out there as far as random stuff from pro wrestling, but it could be AEW or WWE. So if you have suggestions, just let me know. Just let me know, because the show must go on. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.